Good morning, Adam Pengilly. How are you, mate?
Morning, Laurie. Morning, TK. Hope you're enjoying coughs, guys.
We are. We've had a lovely time of it up here so far. We arrived yesterday afternoon. We had a lovely cocktail party last night, and now we're on air this morning. What are you laughing about,
well,
Terry?
It sounds so flash, cocktail party.
Well, that's what they call them.
Yeah, I know.
What do you want me to call it?
It was a shindig, by the way. A shindig, yeah.
Soiree.
What about the barrier draw for the Blue Diamond, mate? A couple of the favourites actually drew wide.
Yeah, they did, TK. Loving Gabby is drawn relatively wide in Barrier 12, and a theory for James Cummings and Godolphin Stable is drawn Barrier 13. So they're the two favourites in the current tab market at the moment. I don't think that's such a negative thing, to be perfectly honest. I think history shows, or at least recent history shows in the Blue Diamond over the last 5 to 10 years, that drawing outside is not so much of an impediment. I think, obviously, the helter-skelter nature of the race and the mad scramble to that turning up the hill there, that you probably want to try and stay out of trouble and try and get some clear running down the middle of the track a bit later in the day. So I don't think that's such a negative for Loving Gabby and Athira. I think inside Barry's struggled a little bit in the Blue Diamond in the last few years, so I don't think that's much of a problem for those two horses. But yeah, looking forward to that first Group 1 two-year-old race of the season, and obviously the focus will switch up to Sydney here with the Triple Crown with the Slipper and the Size and the Champagne. But I think it's a pretty even bunch, these Blue Diamond field. But I did like the win of Loving Gabby in the Chairman stuff. Geez, I like this theory for James Cummings. I think she'll come on from her run in the Prelude the other day. She looks to be terribly hard to beat for me.
Yeah, the All-Star Mile down there in Melbourne's had its critics, and it looks as though it's taken another hit with one of the favourites pulling out.
Yeah, well, hardly surprised, was it, Laurie? We've been forecasting this for weeks, that the Autumn Sun is officially out of the race now, which is, you know, obviously connections had made their feelings known weeks ago that it was probably unlikely to run in the race, but they still saw a nomination in for him. But the problem is that a lot of people have voted for him, and he was a leader on the top 10 leaderboard going into the weekend when voting went behind closed doors, and the Autumn Sun is now officially out of the race. So Racing Victoria asked the top 20-odd connections to provisionally accept for the race yesterday before they announce the top 10 tomorrow, and Chris Wallace will let them know that the Autumn Sun will not be running in the race. So he's going to resume in the Hobartville Stakes this weekend, then probably head to the Randwick Guineas, and that's sort of the fork in the road for him on the side after that, but definitely not running in the All-Star Mile. No great surprise, but a bit of a blow for the race, it must be said.
I'll tell you, someone who is trying to head towards that All-Star Mile, and why not? It's $5 million buckaroos, but the Futurity Stakes we've got on the weekend, $2.60 favourite at the tab is Elise. Now, Elise will run in the Futurity and hopefully be able to get into the All-Star Mile. They're also trying to get Hartnell into the All-Star Mile as well. $5 million is a fair carrot.
Yeah, I think at last
And half the field's going to be walkers.
Yeah, that's right.
I think at last check, Elise was inside the top 10 when turning sort of went behind closed doors on the weekend. So hopefully she's done enough to hang on to that top 10 spot. And that means we can get a couple more decent wild cards into the race. So I expect her to run well in the Futurity, but geez, I'd love to see horses like Happy Clapper, Leramane and Hartnell get wild cards into the race. We definitely need some more star power for this race. So that won't be decided for another week or two once the top 10 is announced tomorrow. But geez, I hope we can get a couple of nice Group 1 horses into the race as wild cards.
What about Chautauqua? There was some...
Sure.
A whisper going around yesterday that he might be back running. Is that right?
What a hullabaloo this was yesterday, Laurie. It was quite bizarre. His majority or managing part owner, Rupert Lee, did an interview on Queensland Radio yesterday, and he was innocently asked about Chautauqua, and he sort of floated the prospect that he might not be officially retired yet, and there's a chance they could bring him back, maybe. It's funny that happened. I was actually supposed to Rupert last week about a couple of others, and I asked him about Chautauqua, so I'd heard the same whisper that he hadn't officially been retired, and he sort of said to me, oh, you know, he's still a healthy horse. We'll just wait and see what happens, give him a bit more time and maybe bring him back. But after he did that interview on Queensland Radio yesterday, he went a little bit ballistic online, obviously, as you'd expect. And then a couple of hours later, Rupert came out and confirmed and said, oh, no, he's definitely retired. So I don't know who's got in his ear. I'm assuming probably the stewards have got in his ear and said, listen, he hasn't passed the barrier trials or certificates or anything like that. He's not going to be able to return to racing in Australia. And I think Rupert is... quickly quashed any notion of Chautauqua coming back, but it was a bit manic there for a couple of hours yesterday, guys.
Yeah, because of pre-post betting and all that sort of stuff, that's why you see many, many of the big trainers with a lot of horses be very circumspect with the comments that they make, because they do affect the markets there. This is a good name for a horse, the one you've come up with at the Kensington track today, buddy.
Yeah, race six, number two, TK, Bubbles and Troubles. I know it's going to be a bit of a task with a biggish weight at 1,400 metres first up, but she's liked her trials, and I think her form's pretty solid from last campaign. So just on a nice each-way basis there around the $5.50 mark, race six, number two, Bubbles and Troubles, my best at Randwick today.
And just before you go, mate, we asked you yesterday about this Colt Ferretti. Gay Waterhouse in the paper today. Very, very bullish about its chances.
What were her comments, Laurie? Something as good as Vancouver or Pierre, or hasn't been as bullish about a two-year-old since Vancouver?
Yes, correct. Yep. But she gets it right.
She does, PK. It's probably not a great surprise for Gay to come out and say something like that. We love her, but from what we've seen at the trials, he could be a serious, serious racehorse. So the only problem is he's playing catch-up, guys. He's debuting very late in the season for a two-year-old heading towards the Golden Slipper, so he's going to have to almost run very well, if not win, the Silver Slipper on the weekend to qualify his way into the Golden Slipper. But having said that, he looks the part to me.
Good on you, mate. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, boys. You enjoy Coffs.